Hello, and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. A special quick announcement is that we'll be taking a break for Pesach. The next podcast episode will be after the holiday. In this special podcast for Pesach, Rabbi Schweiger discusses the Magid section of the Pesach Seder. Rabbi Meir Schweiger is a senior faculty member of Pardes and serves as the Mashkiach Ruchani, the spiritual guide for Pardes. And now, Rabbi Meir Schweiger.
In today's podcast, I would like to examine the Magid, the telling of the story at the core of the Seder experience. The basis of the Magid is a verse from Exodus, chapter 13, verse 8. V'higadeta levincha, and you will tell your child, b'yom ahu le'mor, on that day, saying, ba'avur zeh, for the sake of this, asa Hashem li b'tzeiti mi'mitzrayim, God did for me in my leaving Egypt. And in fact, in the Haggadah, they actually say, perhaps we should start telling the story from the first of the month, Rosh Chodesh. And then they say, but it says in the verse, Bayom Ahu, on that day. But perhaps that day means the day of the 14th, while it is still daytime. So they said, because it says, Ba'avur Zeh, for the sake of this, what is this? This is a reference to the Matzah and Maror that are placed before you. The telling of the story must be done in the presence of the food which we eat at the Seder, the food which crystallizes the Exodus story. In the Mishnah in Psachim, chapter 10, Mishnah 4, it says, Mazgulo kos sheni. They poured for him the second cup. V'kan haben shoel aviv. And here the child asks his father. V'im ein da'at babein. And if the child doesn't have the knowledge, the intelligence, to ask, aviv melamdo, his father teaches him, ma nishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylot. How different this night is from all other nights. And then the Mishnah goes on to list four questions parallel to what we say with one variation. In the Mishnah, it speaks about eating meat, which is roasted, a reference to the Paschal lamb. We today do not speak about that. Instead, we speak about eating reclining. The first thing that I would like to point out is that the way that we tell the story is through a dialogue which is rooted in questioning. And in fact, it seems from the Mishnah that the question is supposed to be spontaneous. The Mishnah says, when the second cup is poured, here is where the child asks. And it is only if the child is unable to ask that the father teaches the child, Ma nishtana halayla hazeh. And in fact, if we look at what we do at the Seder, there is certainly ample room for someone to ask questions about how this meal seems to be developing in a way which is different from every other meal. The Seder begins with the first cup of wine, which is Kiddush, which is characteristic of every festive meal. And then the next thing we do is we wash. But instead of eating bread afterwards, we eat karpas. We eat a vegetable dipped in salt water. Already we have one difference from our normal eating habit. The next thing that we do, yachatz, we break the middle matzah. We hide it. This is never done at a festive meal. At a festive meal, you always make the blessing on whole loaves. And then all of a sudden, we have Magid, where we begin saying, this is the poor bread which our forefathers ate in the land of Egypt. Instead of going straight into the meal, we start talking. And then the next thing which is done is we remove the Seder plate, pour a second cup of wine, which is extremely unusual. Here we are, we haven't even begun to eat. We're taking the food off the table. Pouring a second cup of wine? That's never done. Sure, wine can be drunk in the middle of the meal, but that's after you've already begun to eat. All of these things are done in order to generate questions. The purpose of the telling of the story is not to just tell a story, but to be a learning experience. The way that one learns is by asking questions to which they receive answers, which generate new questions. It is unfortunate that nowadays, in many homes, the Manishtana becomes a highlight of the Seder, where you basically teach your child to recite it by rote, and where everybody gets up and they clap, and this is a big performance. But the whole idea of a learning experience is very much lost. In our home, a number of years ago, in order to be able to make this a learning experience, after the second cup of wine is poured, before the Manishtana, we started to bring out dessert. All kinds of chocolates, fruits. And at that time, our children who were younger were absolutely astounded. What are we doing here? We're having dessert before we have the meal. We're having chocolate. We never have chocolate. The point of all these questions is not just to raise a question for the sake of the question. The purpose is for this to be an introduction, to somehow make us realize why this meal is different, why this meal is very special, why tonight we are going to experience the movement from slavery to freedom, and as a result, to celebrate what it means to be truly free. The Mishnah, after it speaks about the four questions, goes on to say, "Matchil bignut umesayim b'shvach." You begin with the shame, and you conclude with the praise. And in the Talmud, page Kuftet Zayin Amud Aleph, 116a, there is an argument between Rav and Shmuel. What is the gnut, what is the shame, and what is the praise? Rav says, we're supposed to say, Mitchila ovde avodah zara hayu avotenu, that initially our forefathers were idolaters. And now, God has brought us close to his service. Shmuel says, Avadim hayinu leparo b'mitzrayim. We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. And God took us out of there with a strong arm and an outstretched hand. A strong hand and an outstretched arm. And the Mishnah goes on to say, V'doresh me'arami oved avi. And he expounds on the section of arami oved avi, Ad Shegmor Kola Parsha Kula, until he finishes the whole section. And then in the next Mishnah, Mishnah Hey, chapter 10, Rabbi Gamliel haya omer. Rabbi Gamliel used to say, Kol shelo amar shlosha dvarim elu bePesach. Whoever did not say these three things on Pesach, lo yatza yedei chovato, did not fulfill his obligation. The Eluheim, and these are them. Pesach, matzah, umaror. Pesach, al shum shepasach hamakom al batei avotem imitzrayim. Pesach, why do we eat it? Because God passed over our houses in Egypt. Matzah, al shum shenigalu avotem imitzrayim. Because our forefathers were redeemed from Egypt. Maror, because the Egyptians embittered our lives, the lives of our ancestors, in the land of Egypt. I read these two Mishnayot because everything which is in this Mishnah, including the explanation or the explanations of Matchil Bignut Umesayim B'Shvach, given by Rav and Shmuel in the Talmud, all of these things have found their way in our Haggadah, in our telling of the story. And what I would like to examine in the remaining minutes of my podcast is an idea which I developed a number of years ago, that in fact there is not one telling of the story, but there are four tellings of the story, the way our Haggadah is constructed. Four tellings of the story, which in fact correspond to the four sons, and which perhaps give us a composite of what might be seen as a holistic educational experience. What are these four tellings? The first is what we are familiar with after the Manashtana. Avadim hayinu leparo b'mitzrayim. Vayotzienu Hashem Elokeinu misham biyad chazaka uvzrua netuya. We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. God took us out of there with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. The second telling of the story begins with the words Mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoteinu v'ashav kervenu amakom lavodato. Originally our forefathers were idolaters, and now God has brought them near to his service. The third telling of the story begins with the words Tse ulamad, go out and learn. Ma bikesh Lavan ha'arami lasot liYaakov avinu? What Lavan wanted to do to Jacob our father. And then we go into a whole exposition of the section from Deuteronomy chapter 26, Arami oved avi, which the Haggadah understands as an Aramean, namely Lavan, wanted to cause my father to perish. And the last telling of the story is Rabbi Gamliel haya omer. Rabbi Gamliel used to say, whoever does not discuss these three things on Pesach does not fulfill his obligation, where I will understand this as the obligation to tell the story. And what are the three things that need to be discussed? Why we eat Korban Pesach, the Paschal Lamb. Why we eat the Matzah. Why we eat the Maror. These four tellings of the story also have, each one, an element of praise, which concludes that section. In the case of Avadim Hayinu Leparo, the praise is Baruch HaMakom Baruchu, Baruch Natan Torah L'Amo Yisrael. Blessed is the place, God. Blessed is he. Blessed is the one who gave the Torah to his people Israel. Baruch Hu, blessed is He. Four times we mention Baruch. And then we go on to say, Keneged Arba'a Banim Dibra Torah. The Torah spoke corresponding to four sons. In the second telling of the story, we also say, Baruch Shomer Haftachato Yisrael. Blessed is the one who guards his promise to the Jewish people. Baruch Hu, blessed is he. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Chishev Et HaKetz. Because God computed, figured out the exact time, and here the reference being to the time of deliverance. La'asot kmo she'amar la'Avraham Avinu, to do as he had promised Abraham. Bivrit ben abtarim, in the covenant between the parts. And this is followed by V'hi she'amda la'avoteinu, and she, the covenant between the parts, is what stood up to our forefathers and to us in each generation when our enemies tried to kill us and God saves us from their hand. And it is not coincidental that V'hi she'amda is sung in many homes as an expression of praise to God. In the third section, the praise is much more elaborate. And I would venture to say it is sung in every home. Kama ma'alot tovot la'makom aleinu. How many good ascents are there to God upon us? Which in simple English means, how many positive things do we have to thank God for? And then we go on to say, Ilu hotzianu mimitzrayim, if God had only taken us out of Egypt, v'lo asavahem shvatim, and had not done to them judgment, dayenu, that would have been enough. And everybody is familiar with the song Dayenu. But what are we saying in Dayenu? We're not saying that if God had just taken us out of Egypt, that would have been enough. What we're saying is, that would have been enough of a reason to praise God, to thank God. And it was as we go on in each and every step of Dayenu, what we're doing is acknowledging every single thing which God did for us, for which we should be thanking God. And as we conclude, Al achat kama vechama, and how much more so, Tova kfula mechupelet lamakom aleinu, did God double and exponentially increase all of the good things which He did to us, which He did for us? How much more should we then be praising God? And in the last telling of the story, we conclude with the two opening paragraphs of the Hallel. And in fact, for people who are familiar with the Seder, the second half of the Seder, after the meal, is all praise, all singing. Many years ago, I heard a lecture by Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik, where he said that one of the characteristics, one of the features of the Seder, is this integration between study and prayer. Study which leads to prayer. And in our case, which leads to praise. If there are four tellings of the story, each telling leads us to praising God. And this becomes a model for daily life. Study should lead to prayer. Prayer should lead to study. Question should lead to answer. Answers should generate new questions. I mentioned earlier that the four tellings of the story correspond to the four sons. Let us examine this more carefully. The first telling of the story is Avadim Hayinu leParo b'Mitzrayim. Avadim Hayinu is actually a quote from the book of Deuteronomy. And this, in fact, is the answer which is given to the question of the wise son. It says in Deuteronomy, when your son will ask you, Ma ha'edot v'achukim v'amishpatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu etchem, what are these testimonies, these statutes, these laws which God, your God, has commanded you? The answer in the Chumash, in Deuteronomy, is Avadim hayinu leparo b'mitzrayim. That is one reason why I associate this first telling with the wise son. But if you go on to look at the section in the Haggadah, it says, if God had not taken our forefathers out of Egypt, then we and our children and our grandchildren, all generations, would still be subjugated to Pharaoh in Egypt. But it goes on to then say, Vafilu kulanu chachamim, even if we are all wise, kulanu nivonim, all with understanding. Kulanu yodim et haTorah, we all know the Torah. Mitzvah aleinu lesaper b'yitziat Mitzrayim. It is a mitzvah upon us to tell the story of the Exodus. And then we go on to talk about the five rabbis who stayed up the whole night telling the story. So that it is in this context of Avadim Hayinu that we mention how even those who are wise should be telling the story with an actual case of five outstanding scholars who stayed up the whole night telling the story. What is the essence of the telling of the story of the wise son? The Netziv, the famous Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin, who lived in the mid to late 1800s, on the sentence which I read to you before, which says, had God not taken us out of Egypt, we would still be there, points out that it is important for us to realize that leaving Egypt was a divine act. Because had Pharaoh even given us permission to leave, we would not necessarily have done so. We needed God to pull us out of Egypt, or perhaps to pull Egypt out of us, to give us the awareness, the consciousness of what it is to be free. Because even when people have the ability to go around, they don't necessarily exercise it. People have to be taught to value freedom. And therefore, the job of the wise son is not to examine a text. The job of the wise son is to be able to see the hand of God in a particular historical event. To be able to appreciate the depth of what slavery and freedom is, to be able to understand how miraculous the Exodus from Egypt really was, to not just take the event for granted as something that happened, but to be able to see in the details how at every moment there is the hand of God in what's happening. If I digress for the moment, on a very different level, this perhaps is an idea which is also at the core of reading the Megillah on Purim. God is never mentioned in the Megillah. And yet, one who is wise, who steps back for a moment and sees how the events unfold, cannot help but see that there are too many coincidences that perhaps speak of some divine intervention in what's going on. This is the job of the Chacham, to be able to discover God in the historical event. Let us go on to the next telling. Mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avotenu. Originally our forefathers were idolaters. V'achshav kervanu amakom l'avodato. And now God has brought us near to his service. This is the answer, the telling, to the wicked son. And in fact, if you look in Exodus, in chapter 13, what is the question of the wicked son? Ma ha'avodah hazot lachem? What is this service to you? And in fact, if you look in the verse, you will see that it is not a question. It is actually preceded by saying, V'haya ki yomru aleichem b'neichem, when your children will say to you. It's a statement. It's not a question. And why is this statement being made? It seems to be from the context in Exodus that the children are saying, now that we've come into the land of Israel, why do we need to do this service? It may have made sense in Egypt, but we're in a different reality. So why bother with it? And therefore, the answer which is given to the wicked son is that service of God is not a one-time phenomenon. Service of God is something that's supposed to be forever. But on another level, what happened in Egypt is not a one-time phenomenon. And that's what we say at the end of this section, when we say V'hi sha'amda, that in fact, in every generation, Jews are persecuted. And it is an act of God which saves us. The telling of the story to the wicked son is to be able to see historical continuity, to be able to realize that history repeats itself, to realize that it wasn't just that God acted once in history, but God is constantly acting in history. Service of God is not just something that was a one-time phenomenon, but service of God is an ongoing phenomenon. So that the first two, the wise son and the wicked son, need to look at the particular event and see the hand of God in that event, but then need to broaden it and see that what happened in Egypt is an ongoing phenomenon. To also realize that service of God is an ongoing phenomenon. And then we come to the next telling, which is Arami Oved Avi, an exposition of this section, which recaps what happened in Egypt. This is the section of the simple son. The simple son whose question is, what is this? Simple, unsophisticated. And it's interesting that we could have just opened up the book of Exodus and started reading the first 12 chapters. And by doing that, telling him a story. But we don't. The purpose of the education is to empower him, to teach him, to be critical, to be analytical, to learn how to read a text, to see how every single word and phrase is loaded with tremendous meaning. And that's why we take this section, which has a few verses, but from that we build and expound to tell a whole story. The simple son needs to be educated not in terms of seeing historical events, but in terms of learning how to read a text very, very carefully. The wise son, and I would even add the wicked son, who may very well know how to be analytical and read texts, need to be able to take those texts and connect them with their reality, so that texts don't just become sterile academic pursuits, but actually have meaning to one's life. And then we come to the last son, Rabbi Gamliel. The last son who doesn't even know how to begin to ask a question. What do we do with him? We take the food, which is very, very concrete, and we use that as a springboard to tell a story. We somehow develop the abstract from what's hands-on, so that if we look at how the story is developed, we start out with perhaps something which is very, very abstract, and we conclude with something which is very, very concrete. And in that way, we touch on all the different things which can be part of our learning experience, to examine our reality, to contextualize our reality, to be able to see it as part of an ongoing historical process, to open up a book and analyze a text, and to be able to do things which are hands-on, but to be able to see something which is far beyond the concrete which is before us. To be able to extrapolate, to be able to see the symbolism. The four sons are not just four types, but the four sons are part of a composite of every single individual. Every person has an aspect of the four sons, and therefore every person has to learn on multiple levels. This is the greatness of the Magid, to be able to show that in fact learning is not monolithic, but learning is multiple. That in fact, there are many different modes of learning, and we need to incorporate all of them. May the Seder be the basis for an ongoing learning experience. May we be able to see that learning is not only reading a book, but reading it critically, analyzing it. Learning is not just from a book, but learning is also from the things that we do. Learning is also being able to take what we read in books and apply it to our reality. And to be able to see also how our reality is part of a much larger context of a historical development. And may all of this learning heighten our sense of amazement and wonder and praise of God. Pesach Sameach v'Kasher.
Thank you, Rabbi Schwager. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated. Please send your email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. As I mentioned at the start, we'll be taking a short break for Pesach and resume after the holiday. I wish you a Chag Sameach. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.